The Broncos are throwing the football 60.54% of the time. The Denver Broncos, that is. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I was reading through this article this morning because we agree on how to get there. We agree on where we need to go, Mr. Kislev, the Denver Post. And I don't always agree with the little paths that he takes to get there. But he points this out. Now, keep in mind, they're throwing 60.5% of the time, but they're down all the time. So you're going to see in the second half, if you're down 20, I mean, you are increasing that. You're throwing it nonstop. So that's a little misleading. But I think we all can look at it and say, Philip Lindsay, who's averaging 5.8 yards per attempt, so let's round up, 6 yards per carry. That's fourth in the NFL. And yet, he had, what, 8 carries last week? I mean, Lindsay, even when the line is struggling, even when it's a good defense, I still get this feeling Lindsay is going to find a way to wiggle through and get yardage. Melvin Gordon, he's more of a dancer. I mean, he's going to get the ball. He's going to look for a hole. He's going to bounce back and he's not running that hard. And in fact, even in his best when he was with the Chargers, he doesn't look like that guy anymore. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's trying too hard to break off a, 20-yard run, but I do feel like Gordon doesn't see what's right in front of him often. I've noticed that this year. Lindsay is getting yardage. That's what he's focused on. And if he can, and the good thing is he's focused on 2 yards. He can break it and pop up another 5, 6 and get out on that edge. Gordon, I mean, sometimes it seems like he's tackled easily. He's not making the correct read back there. And yeah, I haven't seen it overall. But this team is pushing it. They're trying to get Gordon involved. I mean, they're trying really hard to make sure that he and Lindsay both are focal points in this offense. And I think they should be. I think both of them, if we can get that 1-2 combo that we saw for about 5 seconds against the Titans, then it could be really dangerous. But we haven't got there yet. Everybody knows, Lindsay only had 6 carries in that Chargers game, but he busted one for 55 yards. I mean, again, you only ran the ball 16 times against the Chargers, down by a lot early, but, that first half, Denver was still right there. The Chargers get that crazy late games or late half score, and they go up 14-3, and then we know the rest. The Broncos found a way, came back, and win that game. Not the case against the Falcons. I mean, it was almost the exact same thing. And yet, again, you looked at this team and they didn't commit to the rushing attack. Now, I know it's hard to do that when you're being shut down play after play after play, but I still put my money on the chance that Philip Lindsay is going to break something if you give him 15-plus carries, as opposed to Drew Lock trying to figure out this overcomplicated offense. Locke, reporters asked Pat Shurmur, about Locke's tendency to roll right. As soon as he snaps it, to roll right. Shurmur kind of answered it, but he more or less said, well, no, we like that because we like when he throws when he's on the run. I mean, that's, we like whether it's a boot, a naked boot, or we like that. Are there times when he tries to throw off the back of his foot when he gets into that? Yeah, sure. So he kind of admitted it overall, but that's what I'm noticing is Drew is instantly looking to get outside. He's not fast like Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson even, Aaron Rodgers, heck, he's about like that. I mean, Drew Lock can do some things with his legs, but not like that. Not when you roll out. Now teams are knowing what they're going to do. Defenses are studying up on him. They know he has a tendency to just escape that pocket quickly, so they're going to try to make it appealing to him to continue to do that. They'll bait him now. They'll act like they're going to bring that end who's on Drew Lock's right side, probably have him tilting inward so it looks like, okay, that right side's going to be open for me, but you have a linebacker spy out there. So, I mean, defenses are going to get to the point now where they're not necessarily trying to show that they're stopping it, but that they're going to set up and bait him into it. That's, again, you have a young quarterback. You have a lot of weapons. None of it makes sense. You got to run. Lindsay had 8 carries for 23 yards. Gordon had 6 carries for 18 yards last week. It's not going to do it. I mean, why'd you spend the money? Why'd you do this? Drew Lock threw it 48 times, and again, he's throwing a chunk of that late. And the Broncos were down early, down 10-0 early in this game. So I'm standing by this. You got to stay committed to this rushing attack, and I'm not quite sure what it's going to take. I mean, Fangio's saying the right things. He said it today. Hey, I it's a mixture of both. We need to commit to the run game more. Schematically, we have to figure out how to open things up for these guys overall. Strength of this team, unfortunately, is an average defense right now with all these injuries. Strength of the team is an average defense when it should be your rushing attack. That's what this should be. You know, you stocked up on tight ends. Now Alberto was out. I get that. But you upgraded the O-line. Graham Glasgow has been out for 2 weeks. I get that. Your right tackle situation has been scary. And you have a rookie center. So, I mean, I get all of those things. But I still want to see that commitment overall. Again, 5.8 yards per rushing attempt. Lindsey is fourth in the NFL on yards per rush. Now, how do you get him... How do you get him to carry the ball 15 times? I'm not, Lindsey, I don't believe Lindsey's going to be a Derrick Henry. Lindsey's not going to be a guy that can carry 20 plus times and almost get stronger with every carry. I think you're going to have to even that out. But I think 15, 20 touches, you got to get close to that and get close to it early. Establish that rushing attack. Utilize Gordon too, because he's a little bit different. Gordon's the guy that's going to dance around a little bit and maybe make some crazy moves. Kisla writes, Gordon brings attributes to the Denver huddle that Lindsey does not. Gordon runs bigger in short yardage, blocks better in pass protection, and catches the ball more reliable. He is better at blocking. Yes, he's a better receiver. I'm not quite sure I get the runs bigger in short yardage. I kind of see Gordon bounce. I see him bounce way too much. But he blocks better and he can catch better. I'm not saying reduce Gordon's carries. You give Lindsey more and you give Gordon more. You got to find a way. And I want to see that be the emphasis this week. But again, this all goes back to the original thought here at the starting of free agency into the draft. Elway is buying up all the shiny toys with no real rhyme or reason as to what Pat Shurmur's going to do with it. Last year, Vic Fangio hired Scangarello, and the reasoning was, well, he has a style of offense that I couldn't stop. Well, then they kind of change it to Pat Shurmur seems to like to throw the ball. In fact, Shurmur's the one who wanted Gordon because he wanted a pass catching running back, so they want to throw the ball. They want to air it out. Okay, well, you have Philip Lindsay, you have a lot of tight ends. Is it really going to be an air-out type offense, or is it going to be a ground and pound? That's the thing. We don't have an identity. And if you just say, okay, we're tightening it up here and we're going to run, well, then you're taking out your shiny toys a lot. Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler, you're not, Tim Patrick, not utilizing those guys as much because you maybe only have one or two wide receivers in, for the most part, instead of all the weapons. So, again, it goes back to that identity, and until Pat Shurmur is willing, or Vic Fangio is willing to step up and say, who are we? Last week, before this game, before the Falcons game, Fangio said, yeah, we might try some up-tempo more. Well, okay, you could still run in an up-tempo offense. Here's something. Now, we got a clip from Drew Lock, but I also want to talk about this. Another clip that I found this morning. Drew Lock talks about the fact that, all right, in that first quarter, we got to be better. They're throwing out different looks at us sometimes that maybe we don't prepare for in practice. Now, I grew up in the Shanahan days. That was the bulk of my Broncos fandom was when Mike Shanahan was the coach. You guys remember especially when the Broncos were like finishing 500 all the time, you know, in Shanahan's later years, what were they really good at? That first one or two drives, it was all scripted. 15 plays, Shanahan had them down, and that offense just practiced them religiously. So they were always going to go down and score first. They were always going to go down and get a field goal. And that's not really a rarity to just Shanahan. A lot of coaches script that first 10, 15 plays, so they're good at it. But now you have Drew Lock saying, yeah, they're throwing stuff out at us really early that we're not really prepared for. That's another alarming thing. That's something else that's alarming. Here's Drew Lock talking about, you know, maybe just, again, say, basically this is the same press conference without the win that we heard last week after the Chargers.
Well, points need to be scored, that's for sure. Pick up a few first downs and you can't be in third and longs. I said that last week. First half, we stunk last week because we were in third and longs. We did it again this week. It's just, we got to be better in that regard. And you know, there's no magical potion for that to happen. It's going to come with work. And I think we're all ready to stop the, you know, it's part of the process, hoopla, whatever you want to say, process, young guys, whatever.
Yeah, you know, he's eager. He says the right things. He's eager. He's, hey, I don't want to use the young thing as an excuse, and I like that. I think that's owning it a little bit. But they're going to start needing more guys back. Jeff Legwald, Broncos getting a sliver of good news on the injury front this week. Tackle Elijah Wilkinson. He's been on the IR, I think, since week four after the leg deal. He started the process to return and was on the practice field yesterday. Graham Glasgow has missed the last two games after testing positive, was back on the practice field as well. So Dixon just saying, hey, I don't know if they have the line to do that. Well, Graham Glasgow should play this week. Fangio said probably too soon for Elijah Wilkinson. The interior of that O-line should be pretty good. I mean, you look at it, if you get Glasgow in the mix, then yeah, the interior of that line should be good. You know, rookie Lloyd Cushenberry, Dalton Reisner, and then and Graham Glasgow, assuming he can go. So, I mean, at the beginning of the season, those guards were the Reisner and Glasgow were ranked as like the fourth best guard duo projected going into the season. So, yeah, you get him back, and you should be able to run the ball a little bit better. So I don't know if he's going to go yet or not, but I do think it's too soon to tell on Elijah Wilkinson for this week. I don't think it's going to happen, probably next week. But DeMar Dotson, again, you were on your, what, Elijah was the backup right tackle originally, so DeMar was the third, so then you were ultimately on your fourth. So that right tackle spot has been rough. But, you know, Dixon, I hear you saying, hey, they shouldn't, but if you get Graham Glasgow, all right, Garrett Bowles has had a much better season. Dalton Reisner's pretty damn good at that left guard position. Rookie Cushenberry, okay, tough. Then right guard Graham Glasgow, if he's there. If he's in there, suddenly, yeah, you should be able to run the ball. You should be able to commit to that more. But, you know, again, a lot of identity issues with the Broncos continues to plague them. How about Derek Carr? Derek Carr has had an interesting journey in his NFL career. He's only been to the playoffs once. What was that, 2016? And, you know, in that time, that year, I mean, he was lighting it up. He had a phenomenal year. But when you look at overall, he's been a nice player, but not good enough. I mean, Gruden for 2 years was kind of like, I don't know if this is our guy or not. I think he feels much better about that now. But yeah, the 2016 year, he threw for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That was his best year. His second year was pretty good, too. He threw 32 touchdowns and 4,000 yards, but 13 interceptions. So, you know, he's had some good seasons, you know. But again, the yards, that can be deceiving. Look at that percentage. Look at that completion percentage. That's probably where I'd go. He's a good quarterback. He's good. He needs a better unit around him, and I feel like Gruden's doing that. This Raiders team is much better. And, I mean, if not this year, then next year, this team's going to be in the thick of it. They're going to be in these hunts. Because all those draft picks that Gruden's been collecting, they're starting to perform well. So, Carr is he's pretty good. He kind of he could fumble. I mean, he has a tendency to lose the ball back there. So, I mean, that's something the Broncos will be hopefully very aggressive with this week, is going when they get in the backfield, getting those hands like karate chops, man, just nonstop going after Derek Carr. That's what they're going to need. This defense is, I mean, we don't really know where this offense is going to go. We don't know. Could it take three quarters for them to get going? What if they don't get going in the fourth and it's just an absolute blowout? You're going to need this defense to come up with some big plays. And there's a guy on that offensive side that's going to be pretty damn motivated. How about, okay, Josh Jacobs, I know we're all talking about him. He has 600 yards rushing, six touchdowns. Devontae Booker, the guy the Broncos gave up on. Yeah, he's putting together a decent year for a backup running back. 223 yards and a touchdown. They're throwing the ball to him once in a while. So, you know, he's not tearing. Eight receptions for about 70 yards. You know, he's looking at this game. I was the forgotten guy in Denver. Josh Jacobs is having a good year. So, and then obviously Max Crosby, defensive end, five sacks for the Raiders, leads the team. I think he was picked in the fourth round. So, again, you're seeing draft picks, not just first rounders, but overall pickups. So the Raiders, whether it's this year or next year, I expect them to be competitive for a long time. 21 minutes after the hour. Windsor Mill Tavern, they're in the newly remodeled historic Windsor Mill on Main Street. They serve fresh takes on classic, shareable American comfort food, as well as an incredible Great Range Bison. Check them out, Windsor Mill Tavern. I got a $20 gift certificate we're going to give away right now. Be caller number 4 on the First Advantage Hotline. Caller number 4, we got a gift certificate for you to the Windsor Mill Tavern. 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. Just be caller number 4 and you got a $20 gift certificate to the Windsor Mill Tavern. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Thursday Night Football is on tonight. Don't miss opening kickoff while you drive home. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Mark your calendars, Colfax, my friend. December 12th, I think it's a Saturday, the UNC men's basketball team will head 25 miles north. They'll take on Colorado State. That one's going to be good. That's going to be a great, great in-state game. The schedule is starting to take shape. So there you go, December 12th. I am very much looking forward to that game. You know, these are the games I'm looking forward to the most because I've been bragging, saying I think UNC for the last 2 years has been one of the top teams in the state, and I'm laughed at for that. It's okay. It's okay, Colfax. You'll see. You'll all see. Let's see. Noob. Wasn't 17 the year Carr broke his leg, so he didn't play in the playoffs? Yeah, it was 16, I believe, is when they went to the playoffs. He broke his leg. He was having a great year. He broke his leg. And then the dude from Twilight, Brock Osweiler, and the Houston Texans beat the Raiders in that first round. Yeah. Noob's dropping this about Boise State. Yeah. The conference is weak as Oklahoma. Ask Oklahoma how that worked out for them, that Statue of Liberty play. Yeah, one of the greatest moment in Boise State Broncos history, that Statue of Liberty play. Yeah. Let's see. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Brady, you only get so many possessions. If your defense gives up some points, you can't keep running if it's not working right off the bat. Yeah, but the Broncos were in these games, though, still. I mean, it was 14-3 at the half, Falcons? That's still a game where you can still run the ball. Same, I think, right? I'm thinking of that right? Same with the Chargers. You were still in that game. It was the third quarter that kind of took off. The Broncos abandoned the run game in both of those games early. Carr didn't actually play in the playoffs games. He got hurt in the last regular season. Yeah, no, I know that. He did get him to the playoffs, though. He was hurt in that last game. So, I mean, it's all still relevant. Flying Dutchman, what does Brady think is the weakest part of the Broncos team? Which Broncos team? the Denver Broncos or Boise State? Because I'll just answer them both. You know, if you want to go Boise State, they can't run very well. But the quarterback position, Jack Sears, if he goes, he's still legit. You got to watch out for him. They can't run very well. And I would take CSU's defensive line over Boise State's offensive line. CSU is a monster right now. They're third in the conference, and they've only played two games in sacks. So that's a weak point. You know, they've only been Boise State quarterbacks have only been sacked like six times, but pressure on the quarterback can be just as lethal, right? So, yeah, I looked at. I mean, you look at six times. Hank Bachmeyer's been sacked three times. Finnegan was sacked twice. Jack Sears was sacked once last week. So, I mean, the offensive line hasn't given up a lot of sacks, but you know, they're starting to play. That first game of the season was not that difficult for them. You played a top team in the country in BYU. So I would say that offensive line and run blocking, pretty weak for Boise State. I mean, Andrew Van Buren has 136 yards through three games. So, I mean, that's you're not exactly running the ball all over the yard at that point. So I would say that. Obviously, the strength is going to be Hank Bachmeyer if he's there. But yeah, he's only averaging like 40, 50 yards per carry or something like that. Oh, Flying Dutchman, CSU in the points tonight? Golly. I can't give that out until we get to the keys to the game. 14.5. It's tempting, isn't it? Take CSU in the points. I mean, if Hank Bachmeyer's not there, Flying Dutchman, fly away, my friend. But you won't know that. You got to lay that bet before. That's why college football is so fantastic when it comes to that. I will tell you this. I think he's playing. Like, if I'm a betting man and that's factoring into my bet, Bachmeyer plays. If he plays, how much you talking, Flying Dutchman? That's what I'd be careful with. You know, friendly bet, $10, $20. All right, maybe throw it. Give it a shot. Make that Rams game more enjoyable. But, yeah, much more than that. Hank Bachmeyer's playing. I mean, there's no fans in the stands, but the blue still has the impact, Colfax. Doesn't matter if there's fans in the stands or not. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. All right, I got something you can take to the bank, though. Coming up next, Colfax. Again, Hooligans, Hall of Famers. You already know who I'm picking in this game if you follow the rules of the whole show. You already know. I will give, what do we got here? Oh, I got this empty bottle of Pledge in here on the desk that I will give away to the first texter that can predict who I'm picking tonight because of the whole show rule. There is a curse that is over the whole show that I cannot escape, and you already know who I'm picking. So go for it. 31996, 31996. 32 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
KFKA, hosted by Pete and Duggan.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We're back. Well, it's Thursday night. A new week has gone. I turn on my radio for some prophecy fun. I hear an American picker on KFKA. The biggest game each week is his specialty. I gotta get ready, make the TNS the bomb, because Thursday Night Special is gonna be special tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready, ready?
I am ready.
Ready for some Thursday Night Special? A Thursday Night
Party. You know, we've had a few texters say,
hey, this is Rockin' Colfax.
Sorry for interrupting.
That's how did you sing that and say that at the same time?
You know,
we've had a few texters like that sounds oddly like the other day of the week football song. Like strangely, I've had a few texters. I don't hear the resemblance.
No, I don't even know what you're referring to.
Is there another song for another night of the week football game?
No.
I don't even know. I mean, if there is, I certainly haven't heard of it.
Yeah, and this is not for the game. This is for the Thursday Night Special.
No, yeah. This is the biggest segment.
This is bigger than the game itself.
This is absolutely bigger than the game itself. Yeah. I'm over 500 now. No surprise. A lot of you doubters were out there saying, what's going on, Mr. Thursday Night? Well, what's going on is COVID-19 and the world. That's what's going on. But somehow, guess what? I busted right through that. I busted right through it. I'm a game over 500. Called last week. No big deal. I even took the cover, too. Not just the win, but the cover. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So I'm over 500. November's the greatest month in the history of the Thursday Night Special. Everybody knows that. I always go undefeated on Thanksgiving. I roll right up to that date. So I'm going to be like 5-6 games over 500 when it's all said and done at the end of November. So feeling pretty good about it. Tonight, the Colts. The Titans. Last week for the Colts against the Ravens, Phillip Rivers showed his age a little bit. That interception that he threw, this is the best thing in the world, watching him try to tackle somebody. I could watch that over and over again. Lamar Jackson, he did Lamar Jackson-y things. Even though the Colts knew the plays, like you could hear, it's the beauty of not a lot of fans, you could hear players calling it out. Lamar's running right. Well, he's running right. And he continued. 60 yards rushing and a touchdown. I mean, he is that offense. He is. Good teams, though, might be able to figure him out. The Colts, they're 5-3. I'm kind of shocked by that. Nothing extremely special about this group. Phillip Rivers spreads the ball all over the place. So, I mean, decent guys that are just getting involved. You know, so, I mean, it's a spread out offense. It's a pretty good defense overall. Tonight, though, you look over at the Titans side of things, and Tennessee, you know, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. They're 6-2, had a couple of weird losses, but certainly a contender, a big-time contender. And it starts with the king himself, Derrick Henry. He's at 843 yards. Does he get enough tonight to go over that 1,000-yard mark? I mean, 160? Does he pop a 160 tonight? I was thinking this guy's poised to do 2,000 this year, be one of the only running backs to do it. There's only a few that's done it. But he slowed down a little bit. Now he's only averaging about 100 yards a game. He's had a few games where he's had 70, 80 yards. He needs to have a big one tonight. Here we go, Colfax. There's no spread on this game, so it's just a pick 'em right here. Well, guys, you already know. Listen, curse or no curse, I like the Titans.
Hold on to your butt.
It's Henry taking the pass with an open field. Taking off down the left sideline with a blocker in front. Davis, and it's going all the way for the touchdown.
Henry takes it to the outside. Oh, the stiff arm.
Okay.
The pitch for Henry to the five.
To the end zone, touchdown.
I like it.
Henry's got a big lane. He's into the secondary.
I mean, Derrick.
Henry, it's a shot in for the touchdown. How about that?
Direction. Henry, jump pass. Woo! Trickery. Corey Davis. Touchdown, Tennessee.
Meep, meep.
Oh, Roadrunner. Yeah, he's fast. Fastest big running back I've ever seen.
That's all, folks.
What was the... Where did the last... Porky, what was...
Looney Tunes? You know, yeah. Roadrunner, Looney Tunes. That's all the same thing.
That's the fun part about the Thursday Night Special, is trying to connect the dots. It all comes to full circle.
Yeah, there's always a reason for everything there. It's not...
Oh, no question about it. There's not. It's not like just random clips.
No.
Titans tonight. I mean, Colfax, first off, I have to pick the Titans.
That's the rule.
Yeah, I have to. Everybody knows that. That was the test, Hulligans. Most of you failed. That is the rule. I have to pick the Titans because I picked the Broncos to beat the Titans. I've picked against the Titans 475 times, including last year, and they kept going. They went all the way to the AFC Championship. So after I said, all right, I'm picking them to lose to the Broncos. If I get that wrong, I'm never picking against the Titans again. That doesn't mean I have to actively seek them out and pick them. Like, oh, this is my game that I'm picking. No, but if it is a game that I'm picking, such as Thursday night, I have to pick. It's in my contract to pick an NFL game on Thursday night. Or we get to the playoffs and we do pick-ems. I have to pick the Titans.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really hopeful the Titans don't go to the Super Bowl. Or don't go to the playoffs, because don't I have to pick them to go to the Super Bowl, basically?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to get there, and yeah, I won't look like a genius if they win the Super Bowl, because it was the curse.
You had to.
Yeah.
Or you might. They haven't really done you wrong since this curse has been.
No, maybe it's like a superpower.
Yeah.
You know, they have cursed me now. And, you know, every time I pick them, they win. And, you know, that's the case. So we'll see. Is this my second time?
Second time.
Because I picked them to win and cover last time. And I think I grabbed that one.
Yeah, you did.
So maybe the Titans and I are destined to be together after everything that's gone wrong last year. I didn't believe in them. Maybe this curse now has brought us closer together. I tell you what, though. You know I like a good running game. And what is better than watching Derrick Henry? Dude, tonight, all right, prop bets? Like, I want to see him crack that 1,000-yard mark so he can quickly get to work on that next 1,000. I want to see him get 2,000, but there's no question he's going to have to pick that up. You know, we're 8 games in. You got to go. So tonight, you know, he needs to absolutely unleash. I'm going to go 120. I'm not going to get crazy. I'm going to do prop bet since there's no spread. I'm going to do 120 tonight for Derrick Henry. And he jumps over. He gets really close to that 1,000-yard mark. First Advantage text line 31996. Brady, is 500 how the bar is set for Mr. Thursday night now? Sounds like the Denver Broncos. Boom, phone drop. I'm over 500, Dixon. I'm over it now. I mean, how else do I? I'm one game over 500. So I'm six. Is it 600 or 540, whatever that is. For the year, I'm over 500. I'm looking at it, Colfax. Do you have it up? Let's see. Now, it's been a weird year. January, I was 5-0. Then COVID hit, and I went 1-3. Any coincidence? I don't think so. March, I went 0-1. July, I start recovering. What was I picking in July? I didn't pick a lot in July. I think I picked 2 games. We started late July. And then I went 2-0. September, 2-2. October, 2-2. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride. But I'm picking games in 2020. You don't really know these teams until halfway. Now it's serious time. So I took the Packers last week to cover the spread, got that, so then I jumped over that mark. I'm doing the math. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 wins, Colfax. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 losses. So I'm actually over, but 500 in football season. I'm a game over 500. But I'm 5 games over 500 overall since January. So, yeah, Mr. Thursday night, I know what I'm doing, all right? I know what I'm doing. 46 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I'm going to give you my pick for tonight. CSU Boise State. Should you take the points? Well, if the Rams can accomplish my 3 goals tonight, my 3 keys to victory, then sure. Yeah, if you feel like they can accomplish those, take the points. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And it's the amount of football they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on 3. 1, 2, 3.
I found the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play.
Thank you for answering the prayers that I've stolen.
Where are we at?
What about this time? What about this crime? Let's kick the ball rolling.
You're the best in the United States of America tonight.
We're going to get our whole team's best, and it starts with me. They're going to get my best this week. This is the way I'm feeling.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Keys to the game. Here we go. Keys to the game. Colorado State at Boise State. They're at the Blue. Look out for flying geese. They think it's water. Apparently, that was the fear. When they were going to get the blue field, people were like, what happens when the geese fly over the precious things? They're going to think that it's water. They'll dive down there and break their necks. So far, I don't know that that's happened, Colfax. So you never know, man. You never know. We'll see. But this one tonight. All right. I've never done this in a keys to my game. I've never done this one. But I'm telling you, Ryan Stonehouse, the punter for Colorado State, gets things done, Colfax. You know how much he flipped the field several times last week against Wyoming. Wyoming, every time it felt like, all right, Wyoming gets a big stop. CSU's going to punt it. Ryan Stonehouse just says, see you later, football. Punts it way downfield, getting it inside the 10, inside the 5. Wyoming had way too much work to do. In fact, that pick six that that Wyoming threw early in that game was partly because you're backed up and you're trying to make something, you're trying to move down the field so you can make that an easier punt. So they were forcing some things there. So Ryan Stonehouse tonight, I need you to be special like you are, a special punter. Flip the field, because I think it could actually be a bit of a defensive battle tonight. You know, I think CSU, even though they like Patrick O'Brien, Steve Adazio, Patrick O'Brien made up, they're friends again, they're going to try to run the ball more tonight. They're going to try to flip that field. So Stonehouse has got to be on his game. How about the second key to the game? Boise State will be game planning against Dante Wright, which means Trey McBride. I know it's nothing special, but Trey McBride needs to have a record type night tonight as far as receptions. I believe they are going to go to McBride because Boise State's going to do their best to take Dante Wright out of the game. McBride just has to be special. Number three, and this is the difficult task here, I don't like Boise State's offensive line. CSU through two games, they've shown me that they can get after the quarterback. They're third in the Mountain West Conference with only two games under their belt, 10 sacks. They're going to come after it. Whoever it is, Hank Bachmeier or not, I think CSU has to make it a point to get to the quarterback. Here's the deal. 14.5-point spread. Hank Bachmeier's playing, all right? It's not breaking news. I don't know that for sure, but that's my prediction. He's playing. So I like Boise State winning this game. I'm going to go 24-13. So you can take that spread. Take that spread, 14.5 points, and you can feel comfortable about it. Right, Colfax? I think so. But I do think Boise State wins this game tonight. Good night, Northern Colorado.